My name is Sandra, and I'm a white Latina Pentecostal Christian. I'm the daughter of two immigrants from Colombia and Argentina. I was born in Chicago, and I'm in a cross-cultural marriage and have two biracial kids. This is The Cultural Christ.
Welcome, everyone. I'm your host, J.W. Buck. In this podcast, we explore the intersection between the Christian faith and cultural identity. We hold interviews with followers of Jesus to discuss the way our faith impacts our culture and how our cultural identity impacts faith. Now to this week's episode. Welcome, everyone. I'm with Sandra, an incredible leader out of Chicago. Thanks for being on.
It's great to be with you.
So please tell us about your cultural background.
Well, it's interesting because when people ask me to introduce myself, I always start with that question, whether they want it or not. But I am the daughter of two immigrants. My mother's from Colombia and my father's from Argentina. So both of my parents came from South America to the U.S. And I call myself a Latina because it's a pan-Latina experience culturally. If you know anything about Colombia or Argentina, you know that their cultures are incredibly different. So, yeah.
So what was it like with that fusion growing up in your household? Was there a fusion of those two things coming together? Did you see them as distinct and then understood that or connected? Talk a little bit about your upbringing.
Like many households, psychologists say that mothers really shape the kind of space, the culture of the household, primarily because we're socialized that way. You know, it's like even when you have two working parents, somehow, like Carl says, I get to choose what we eat. I get to choose where we go. Somehow I have strong opinions about those things, like what they wear on Wednesdays. So I would say that our culture was predominantly or dominantly Colombian, shaped by my mother, the foods that we ate, the Spanish that we spoke, the family members that we connected to. She worked harder, I think, to keep us connected to our cultural heritage. So we participated in different kind of cultural dancing lessons and events that would happen in the city of Chicago where Colombians would get together, whereas my father never really did that. And Colombian culture, I like to say Colombian culture is like very warm. Like their Spanish is warm. They're very colorful. Like if any of you have seen Encanto, that's pretty much, you know, like that's what it is like.
Okay.
Like the role of like the table and eating together, and everything is gregarious, not every person, but culturally as a collective. And then Argentine culture is kind of like an Italian and a German got together. So it's like the intensity of the Italian with the kind of cooler culture of Germans. So I would say if you were to give a Enneagram type to the Colombian, it would be a 7. And if you were to give an Enneagram type to the Argentine, it would be an 8. So I am an Enneagram 8 wing 7, but very different. They use different words. They cook different foods. They saw the family unit differently. And my mother loved to, in conflict, she likes to like kind of smooth things over. Like, oh, don't worry about that. We'll deal with that tomorrow. Let's sit down and have a cup of coffee. And my father would like hit things directly. And he would like want to, you know, hash it out. So it caused a lot of interesting moments.
And Sandra, are you second generation?
Yes. So I was born here in the city of Chicago in the U.S. So my parents came when they were in their 20s.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing that. And location is such a big part of our cultural expression and identity. Talk a little bit about growing up in Chicago. You sound like you're from Chicago, you know?
Absolutely. We have an accent, like apparently.
Yeah. And everybody does, right? But tell us a little bit about like the rootedness in Chicago. What neighborhood and how did that also kind of shape your cultural identity?
Interestingly, the neighborhood that we grew up in was incredibly diverse, like a lot of North African, Arabic speaking, a lot of folks that were Hasidic Jews. Like there was all these temples or all these synagogues all over our community, and people would have to walk on Fridays. We'd see people walking to worship every Friday. And my parents lived in an apartment building with like two rabbis and a ton of Jewish families and some Italian family. And so I thought growing up that potato pancakes were Colombian. And it's like something that like Polish people and Russian people and Jewish people make. And so I thought those were, you serve them with sour cream and applesauce. I thought that was a Colombian dish, but she had apparently learned to cook them from her neighbors. So I think growing up in Chicago and having kind of my early years shaped by so many different cultures, I think that probably gave me an interest in being around people who are different. Like living here is just, you're going to encounter differences, and that's a part of life. It's a part of how we are shaped, you know?
Talk a little bit about faith. Did you grow up in a Christian household? If not, kind of talk a little bit about finding Jesus.
Yeah, I did grow up in a Christian household. I went to a local parish. So my parents both grew up in Roman Catholicism within the Latin American experience. And so when we moved, whatever neighborhood we lived in, we always went to the neighborhood parish. And that's where like I went to like preschool at the local parish. And so church was always very much a part of my life. But I would say that I had a faith awakening when I was in junior high, because I had never really studied scripture the way in which I studied it within like a junior high. It was like a school youth group or something. And I was like, what is this? Like you guys are like reading the Bible by yourselves. Like, yeah, where's the person that's in charge, you know? And so I think I became very curious about intimacy with Christ in a way that was different than the mystery of Christ that I had understood within my Catholic upbringing. And so that began a different journey for me within more of a Protestant expression of faith. But that expression of faith didn't have any non-white leadership or worship or perspective or examples. So I think in that period of time, probably from junior high until I was almost through college, I was being discipled in what I would call white Protestantism or American Protestantism.
Okay.
Which was very different than my experience within the Catholic Church, because it was so much more diverse, and we could go to mass in Spanish and we could go to mass in English, and there would be different kinds of people there. Much more diverse also because it's a parish model. So it's like you go to church where you live versus you drive to church where you prefer. I would say that my earliest expressions and understanding of myself as a person of faith was within a Latina Catholic expression. And that community deeply shaped how I understood God and the world and my place in the world. And then I was intentionally discipled kind of away from some of those things within my teenage, youth, and young adult years.
Did you at all recognize that being in those white spaces as drifting away from some of those religious cultural influences in the parish Catholic model and way of living and following God? Was that an exciting shift for you in that stage, kind of like the white evangelicalism? Were you concerned about it? Were your parents like excited for you to engage that, or were they worried? I just would love to hear, what was your process at the time?
Oh yeah. My mom was like, where are you going to church? What is this? You know, like our family members are going to say you're a part of a cult. Like, wow. What? I mean, just to leave. I mean, you have to understand, this was like a little bit of time ago, and my mother would have been the first one within her family to leave the Roman Catholic tradition. And so, yeah, she was like, what is this thing you're doing? Is this a cult? I'm not going to send you to camp. Well, you want me to send you for a week somewhere with these strangers? That's just culturally, like, we don't do that. We don't send our children overnight somewhere, you know? So there's all these weird things. Kind of, she saw it as stepping or straying away from our family's values in some ways, you know, our family's our normal family thing. I don't think it was until I was in high school where I started to realize, like, oh, some of what I'm experiencing here is actually just assimilation of culture and not faith formation.
All right.
Like, oh, you're not allowed to dance like that. Oh, you're not allowed to dress like that. Oh, you're not allowed to say those things. Well, we believe this, you know, and I'm like, oh, okay. So you're telling me that when you love Jesus, you disobey your parents. Because the call of Jesus on your life is so unique and so distinct that you just tell your parents, well, you know, Jesus is my Lord and I don't have to listen to you. Because that's not how I understood it. Discernment came in the context of your community And discernment came in the context of your parents and those that were mentoring you and guiding you. So all this kind of like radical discipleship is like, you know, living for Christ and not caring what anybody thinks about you kind of stuff. I was like, oh, that's so outside of my understanding. But I kind of submitted to it because it was what was in front of me. And it was kind of what those in authority over me at the time were saying. And so it took me some of my college years to kind of understand being a Christian doesn't mean I have to be like a white Midwesterner.
What did those awakening moments look like for you? Maybe it wasn't a moment. It was a process. Was it a community that you reengaged that was like more diverse out of that, those white spaces? Was it scripture? Was it, talk a little bit about how you began reflecting back on kind of the assimilation in white spaces.
So one thing I can distinctly remember that is, I think it's a cultural moment, but it's also, one thing I can remember that is both cultural and I think attached to my faith is my mom used to call me every day at school when I was in college. She would call me every day and she'd say a prayer for me, or we'd touch base, or I'd talk about my tests or whatever would happen. And my roommate, who was a Christian, like, and a Christian leader, would be like, you know, you really, do you have to talk to your mom every day? Like, I just feel like you're codependent. And I remember feeling like so shocked by that comment, like codependent. What is, like, I don't even know what that, you know, what is that? And I was like, oh, and I was thinking to myself in my head, because of course I was being polite at the time, because that's what Midwestern Christians do. They're polite. They don't actually have conflict. So I was like, in my head, I was thinking, oh, why? Because your mom doesn't call you every day and your mom actually doesn't care about you. Is that why you're saying that? Because in our families, we talk every day because we're connected.
Yeah.
You may see that as overconnected, AKA codependent, but I see that as connected. So I think that kind of those kinds of moments that would happen, I'm like, this is like, I'm being judged for the way I'm interacting with my family. And somehow it's connected to my like wellness or my sense of faith or something, you know. And I would experience those things often where I was like, I think this is not just Christian. I feel like it's probably like a downstate Illinois thing, but maybe this is true. A lot of confusion in myself, in my sense of self. And I think the other thing is just prayer and worship. Like, oh my gosh, I was like, could you be any quieter during prayer and worship? Like, why isn't anybody talking to the person that's preaching or speaking? Because even within Catholic expressions, when you have a cultural, a group of people in there, their culture still comes out. So people will nod, will speak, will sing, will hallelujah, will. And I just remember thinking like, man, Christianity is really boring. It's like really boring. And it wasn't that they were boring or that they weren't excited about Jesus. It's that their particular expressions in worship were always like ballad-like or like quiet or...
Yeah, four-part harmony. Yeah.
It was like, I remember in prayer, especially be like, Jesus, we just thank you for this day that you... And I'm like, what is this? Like, that's not how I pray at all. But I conform myself to speak and to sing and to talk and to be like everybody else around me. Because that's what was. So I think in worship, I experienced it pretty dramatically. And then also in like family dynamics and how I understood myself as a person and as a human in relationship to my community. The Christianity that I had inherited within that season was much more individualistic and it was much more cognitive than like emotive or expressive.
So before we move forward, maybe the next 5-10 years, what was your mental image of Jesus growing up? When we talk about the cultural Christ or Jesus being Palestinian, ethnic Jew, dark skin, what was the images that you saw growing up or that were taught to you or explicit, implicit, and how has that changed over the years?
I've always known Jesus as brown. I was always confused by the white Jesus pictures. I think
that's good.
I think growing up in a Latino context where people are actually named Jesus, like their name is Jesus. To me, Jesus looked like all the other Jesuses that I saw around. So he must have also been a brown guy. And you know, they say his mom's name was Maria. So we know that he was Mexican. So, so I think in my mind, Jesus was a brown man.
Yeah.
I don't think I would have thought of him as Palestinian because I wasn't taught the scriptures that way. Like I wasn't taught to think about context, but now, you know, obviously I would still say he's a brown man. So my understanding of Jesus was Jesus, because his name was in Spanish, and he looked like all the other Jesuses that I knew.
I love it. Yeah. And I love just how you readily admit very quickly, like, yeah, we understood, or I understood Christ to be within the context that I grew up in. I grew up around brown people, you know, Latino people. Therefore, Jesus is going to be that way. That's how the vast majority of people begin forming their mental image of God and of Jesus. And then hopefully as we mature, we discern to what degree have I drifted away from the historical Christ, the cultural Christ, or no, there's a lot of similarities there. So from your perspective, what are the similarities or maybe differences that you see between the historical cultural Christ and your cultural upbringing?
I see a lot of similarities, because Jesus was born into a marginalized community and he had the same experience that most of the people in my community have. They're refugees, they're wanderers, they're socioeconomically and politically on the outside. People make decisions about their bodies, you know, about their well-being. And so that's not new to me. I grew up with an understanding of that. My community was not the community with power within my context here in the U.S. You know, my community did not have the agency sometimes. And so I very much related to Jesus. That's why when I started reading Latino theologians on their kind of their work around Christ and the context of Christ and the context that Jesus was speaking into, I was like, yes, finally, someone's talking about how these contexts and cultures and peoples are so much more similar to me than the way the Bible was talked about in my teens, in my youth, and in my young adulthood. Like, I couldn't always relate to it because it was like, well, that's not how I relate to God. But when I began to read theologians that were coming from the margins, I was like, that's exactly how I understand Jesus. And it would actually just remind me of how I thought about Jesus when I was little. Like, Jesus absolutely cares about the poor because Jesus was there with them. He came from those communities. He was the one that, you know, was born in a manger, like outside, you know, like, the idea of Jesus had to kind of be refound in my spiritual journey. Like, yes, this is the Jesus I understood. And coming back to that connection of who Christ is and who Christ is for, and making Christ accessible to all people, because that's the way Christ was.
Thanks so much for sharing that and narrating, rediscovering the historical Jesus fitting very much into the communities that you're from, that you walk among, live among in Chicago. And it is a really interesting process. So for me, being a white dude, learning that Christ is not only white, but power, privilege, pushing a certain politics, justifying a settler way of life, a settler mentality. And it's been a very opposite reaction when I get to know the historical Christ. Oh, he's not that. And so what does it look like to dismantle the things that we've learned as casting Jesus as white, casting Jesus as European, and casting America as inheriting the promised land of North America and being the new Israel, all the things that the cultural vantage point connecting to the theology, and that theology being very devastating for everyone, including me, and how I view myself in the world. So I really appreciate you sharing that. Hope you'll join us next week for part two of this interview. Thank you so much for listening. If you want more content, you can go to jwbuck.org or follow me on Instagram, handles jwbuck. If you have any questions about culture, cultural identity, or faith, feel free to send me a message. Hope you'll join us next week.